Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
RNZ National Friday afternoon means time for Critter of the Week. Nicola Tookey, our regular ambassador, is away this week, but I'm joined by Ellen Rikers from Forest and Bird. Hi, Ellen.
Kia ora, Jesse.
Great to chat to you. You've been cheating on New Zealand's ecosystem recently by taking in the sights and sounds of Tasmania.
Indeed. Yeah, I spent a couple of amazing weeks over in Tasmania and caught up with some of the local wildlife over there.
Did you just? So, and it's one of those parts of Australia that I'm quite excited to visit at some point. I guess I mainly think about the food more than the nature. But what is it like to visit? Did it remind you of New Zealand?
Not really. You know, lots of big gum forests. So definitely has that iconic smell of the Aussie bush. Yeah. And then, of course, there's a lot more mammals over there than there are here in New
Zealand.
Yeah,
mammals aren't the enemy when you're in Australia.
Yeah, and yeah, that's right.
So what did you see?
One of my highlights was definitely seeing wombats with baby wombats in the wild.
Yeah,
just seeing those little furry tanks trundling around the grasslands and doing their cube-shaped poos.
Oh, I forgot about the cube-shaped poos.
Yeah, you see them all over the trails.
Uh-huh. So they're numerous enough that they're fairly easy to spot in the wild.
Definitely in some parts of Tasmania. So I went to Maria Island National Park, which is really well known for its resident wombat population.
Oh, fantastic. And did you have your mind on snakes while you were there?
They do always cross your mind. I did see one. There are three snake species in Tasmania. So, you know, as a Kiwi who doesn't normally have to think about those things, it's definitely something that crosses your mind. But at the same time, you know, snakes, as much as we don't want to see them, they don't want to see us. So, you know, if you do see them, it's usually the back end of them as they're slithering away.
Yeah, it's quite difficult to tell the back end from the front end, mind you. I guess you got to look at what direction it's going in. Did you spot anything else that you liked over there?
I also went to Bonorong Wildlife Sanctuary, which has a big wildlife hospital, and they have some long-term residents there that unfortunately can't be released. And they also have a breeding population of Tasmanian devils, so I did get to see some Tassie devils, those iconic little creatures, so that was pretty cool too.
Yeah, I think I get Tasmanian devils and Tasmanian tigers mixed up. The latter is extinct, correct?
Yeah, the last Tasmanian tiger or thylacine, I think that went extinct in 1936.
Okay.
Although there are some people who think that, you know, hold on to hope that they're still out there somewhere in the Tassie wilderness.
What are the devils like?
Oh, they're full of so much character. They make crazy noises, which is where they get the name devil from, because they sound quite demonic. And they're little feisty creatures and yeah, it's just super fun to watch.
Fantastic. Hey, well, welcome back to New Zealand. And look, Australia might have wombats and Tasmanian devils, but we've got the sandhopper. So, you know, where would you prefer to live?
True. I mean, sandhopper, an icon of New Zealand beaches.
They are, yeah. And quite, compared to some of our previous critters of the week, reasonably commonplace. Most people would have seen a sandhopper in their travels. But we're looking a little more closely today than we probably normally would.
Yeah, I mean, surely plenty of New Zealanders have had a sandhopper share their beach towel at the beach. So definitely one that you might have come across. But there are actually about 500 or so of these amphipod species. So sandhoppers are an amphipod, and they're kind of like a cross between a curled up flea and a shrimp. Yeah, about 500 or so, but of these amphipod species. But The one we're talking about today is the most common species that's only found in New Zealand, most common endemic species, and it's also the biggest. So it's about, a couple of centimetres long, but that's fairly big for a sandhopper.
I think you're overestimating the length of that. Surely not 2 centimetres long.
Yeah, that's what the researchers say.
Really?
They can grow up to about 2.5 centimetres.
About an inch.
Yep,
so. Okay, I take it back. I thought you were ad-libbing, but of course I should have known better. You've got notes in front of you. I'm just an idiot making things up. So yes, carry on. They also sometimes call them shredders, I understand.
Yeah, and look, that's not because they are amazing bodybuilders, even if they are bigger than you thought. That's because they basically shred up all of the seaweed that washes up on the beach and all the other organic matter and help along that decaying process. So they're really like the champions of beach cleanups in New Zealand.
You haven't given their scientific name. Bellachestia quiana, and I mention that not because I particularly enjoy scientific names, but this one actually does translate to something kind of cool.
Yes, that first part, Bellachestia, means beautiful dancer, which seems a bit odd for a sandhopper until you think about their sort of amazing aerial acrobatics when they leap onto your beach towel on the beach. And so, yeah, like a flea, they can jump really high, about a metre. And even though they have all these little tiny legs, they don't actually use their legs to jump. They actually have this kind of tail that curls up underneath them. And then they flick that in order to propel themselves up. And because their body is sort of curled up, they have all this this potential energy, kind of like a coil spring.
Wow, I love that.
And so, yeah, that's where the name Beautiful Dancer or Bellachestia comes from. But of course, they're not the most graceful when they reach the ground, so they'll just kind of plop onto the sand and then continue on their way.
They put all their energy and skill into the launch, but none into the landing.
yep, indeed.
Okay. And whereabouts do you find them on the beach?
They're mostly found on sandy beaches, as their name suggests, sandhoppers. But sort of towards, if there are dunes or around the high tide mark, a bit beyond that, because obviously they don't want to get washed away by the tide. But they also need moisture, so they like to be if the sand isn't damp, they'll bury down into the sand until they find some sand that has a bit more water in it, because they have gills that they need to keep moist. So, in the sand, but not too far up into the sand.
Okay. Apparently they have really incredible homing instincts.
Yes. According to one source, if you pick up a sandhopper and then release it inland, even like a kilometre inland, it will start hopping back towards the beach. And there's this great quote, catch a sandhopper on a Coromandel beach on the east coast and release it on a west coast beach and it will hop back towards the east coast.
Come on. I don't know
if anyone's tested that.
Come on.
But hey, that would be a pretty cool scientific experiment.
Yeah.
Can you imagine it going up across the range in the middle of the Coromandel?
Totally. We could get the TAB involved, Ellen. Put two of them and see who gets there first. I love that. Yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Great little fact. And so, as you said, they play a pretty important role with seaweed, helping it to decay. Do they have predators themselves? Anyone who enjoys eating sandhoppers?
Yeah, I mean, you can imagine all sorts of birds or other anything bigger than a sandhopper, really, might want to eat these little critters. And that's partly why they have this amazing jumping skill, because it helps them escape a predator really quickly, much quicker than if they were just using their tiny little legs to walk.
Mm-hmm. They're technically nocturnal, even though we do see them from time to time during the day.
Yeah, so they will come out at night, I guess because it's slightly cooler and sort of less harsh conditions, and they'll come out and try to find clumps of seaweed. They don't have the best eyesight. You'll see in the photo on the website, they have these kind of black blobby looking eyes. And they're actually made up of hundreds of these cells that sort of detect light, but they don't really, they can't see like you and I. They just sort of see a blob and move towards it and hope that it's seaweed.
Which is going to make that cross-country travel across the Coromandel Peninsula quite difficult. Just trying to hop its way between the blobs in the right direction. Sounds like a tough life.
It does sound like a tough life, yes. Especially on a beach where there's all sorts of different conditions, tides, weather.
Yeah.
You know, these guys are really little battlers.
Well, given the part they play in you know, feeding other wildlife and breaking down seaweed, I guess if you are on the beach and you see a few sandhoppers around, it's a fairly good indication that things are operating as normal on the beach.
Definitely. They are really sensitive to changes in their environment. So if you see them around, it's a good sign that that is a healthy beach.
Love it. Ellen, you have an important job in Nicola's absence, and that's to take a good, hard look at that photo that you've sent me of the Morfitti, the New Zealand sandhopper, and rate its physical attractiveness on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, look, it's a 1.
I love this, Ellen.
It's not much.
You don't beat around the bush. Nicola's got very... She's had great inflation over the last few years. She's going higher and higher with these ugly things.
Well, I mean, isn't that the, you know, for these critters, you want to be lower on the scale.
That's what I tell her.
Because that's what makes the great critter.
Nah, but she's feeling the pressure of lobbyists. She hangs up the phone. She gets calls from mycologists and other special interest groups. Yeah, she's very, very compromised these days, Ellen. Thank you for telling it like it is.
You're welcome.
Ellen Rikers from Forest and Bird. You can check out a photo of the New Zealand sandhopper yourself on our website or go to the beach and see one. Look, it's that time of day.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.